Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's The Fan Early Morning Show. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. This is The Wake Up Show. The Wake Up Show presented by 84 Lumber. Put your positive attitude to work at 84 Lumber. You can apply online at 84lumber.com. We've got some baseball to get to, if time allows. The Pirates won yesterday. Split a series with baseball's best. And Paul Skeens pitched yesterday. So we'll talk about that again if time allows. We've got a lot to get into this morning because also, it's a Football Friday. The Steelers start the preseason today against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Baker Mayfield. So we'll see how that goes this morning. If you want to call in, or not this morning, we'll see how the game goes tonight. It's scheduled for 7 o'clock. If you want to call in and talk about your expectations of the Steelers tonight, of the Buccaneers, of anything Steelers related in football, you can call 412-928-9370. You can also hit me up on X at Callis underscore 33. That's C-A-L-L-A-S. Underscore 33. And tell me, what do you expect today? What do you expect out of Pickett? What do you expect out of Mayfield? How long should all of these starters play? Big topic of discussion. Lots of opinions swirling out there. I say Kenny Pickett should play a half. I say that most major starters in the first game should play a half. Maybe get them in there. They're feeling loose if they're feeling good just to continue to get reps. But I say a half. A half is reasonable. For all these starters, I see both sides, though. You don't want guys to get hurt. You want to make sure we preserve guys for later in the year. Mike Tomlin has put an emphasis on games early in the season. I mean, which is fair, which is fine. Maybe they've been a little overworked, though, in early games. I think that many of you might attribute TJ Watt's injury to that as well. Maybe a little overworked in the preseason. His injury from last year is pec injury. So, I mean, there's a lot of opinions to have on this. I don't know what the right answer is because Anthony from Oakland called in yesterday to the morning show and said that, well, Tom Brady played every preseason game. And maybe that made him the best, is the fact that he was willing to go out there and get those reps and he wasn't worried about getting hurt or, you know, being overly sensitive about his body or his technique because getting those reps was essential for him. It's all here or there. But if you want to call and talk about that as well, you can. 412-928-9370. And Ben Roethlisberger had some words to say, so we'll get into that as well. Actually, we'll do that right now because Ben has a podcast. It's called Football. And Ben Roethlisberger, I say, he has good insight. He's knowledgeable about football, clearly. He was a good quarterback, a great quarterback. For the Steelers and brought home a couple championships in his career. Now, there are times where, okay, he provides good insight. He talks good football. He gives you inside the game. He dissects plays well. He communicates pretty well. But then there are moments like this where I just get frustrated with him. Here's what he said about the Steelers when they drafted Kendrick Green. Remember, he was still on the team, and Kendrick Green played with him for a year. Here's what he said on his football and podcast recently.
I thought an interesting play is, I don't even know how to like talk about this. I'm sure it'll make huge news by me saying this, but the fact of the matter that I heard this week that the guy that they drafted, and I love this guy, so this is not a knock on him. I love Kendrick Green.
Yeah.
He was a great guy, good teammate, loved him. He was my center my last year. They drafted that guy to be my center. Well, last year he didn't even dress. Mm. And now they have him playing a little bit of fullback.
Mm.
I think good for him to find a way to get on the field.
Yes.
Like he could say, you know what? I'm not the starting center anymore. I'm not even the backup center. I don't even know what I'm doing. Mm. Quit. But he's like, no. Hey, how come I help the team?
You gotta love it.
But it's still funny that that's the guy they got for me. Kevin Colbert and them drafted him to be my center my last year, and now he's playing fullback. So good for Kendrick.
Right. Funny. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? Oh, goodness. I can't with this guy. I mean, he can't help himself. He really can't help himself. There's a way to kind of handle these feelings and emotions. I don't know if saying these things out loud on a podcast, the best of ways. And this is all just a, like, there's a subtle point, I think, in this podcast that, you know, it really should be titled, "Hey, don't forget about me." You know what I mean? Like, that's what Roethlisberger is kind of doing. He's saying, like, "Hey, I have a podcast now. Don't forget about me. Don't forget about me, Pittsburgh. Don't forget about me, NFL community. I'm Ben Roethlisberger. Here I am." He can't control what happened in that year. Oh, I thought it was just really funny that Colbert drafted them to be my center, and in my last year playing football, he was my center, and then he didn't dress last year, and now he's playing fullback. Hey, don't forget about me and what I think. Don't forget about what I suffered through my final year having Kendrick Green play. Great teammate, but, you know, he just went from me. This position to not dressing to this position. Ah. Got a caller at 412-928-9370. Go ahead, introduce yourself.
Good morning. How you doing? This is Stan from McCandless.
Hi, Stan.
Good morning to you, my friend. A couple things. This situation with Green being in the backfield, doesn't this remind you a little bit of the refrigerator when he was running, you know, for Chicago back in the days, you know, in the 80s or whatever it was, in the 90s, whenever the fridge was running? And that's number one. And my second point is, how valid of the mobility? My understanding is that Pickett has put on about 13 pounds. Is that correct?
Yeah, he has gained some weight, yes.
How does he look, though, in your opinion, with this weight he's put on? Is it going to affect his mobility?
Yes, Dan, I appreciate the call. Thanks. I'll address both those questions. I'll start with Pickett. I don't know if gaining weight necessarily hurts your mobility. So you can gain muscle, and from my understanding, and at least the workouts I did when I was a college athlete, you can stretch and keep your muscles loose and still put on weight. Now what I do now is if I eat too much, like chicken or burgers or whatever, right, and I put on those pounds and I just kind of sit around, right, that's not healthy weight, you know, and I think we all can, you know, understand that. It's just when you put on just dead weight, like just from eating food and sitting around, that's not good for you. He's training as a professional athlete, so he's lifting and, you know, he's getting stronger by doing workouts. And on top of that, I'm certain that somebody has him stretching as well. Like, part of getting stronger isn't just, okay, let's just, you know, pump and lift and, you know, and do, you know, benching and all that. No, there's a lot of lifting involved there. There's a lot of different workouts to help strengthen your muscles. And on top of that, if anybody in the Steelers organization is good at physical training, which they are, that's why they're there, they've got him stretching as well, keeping his muscles loose, keeping other parts of his body loose. So I don't think the gaining 13 pounds will hurt his mobility, provided they did it right. Just, you know, stretching those muscles, keeping everything tuned. To my understanding, you know, 13 pounds gained as a professional athlete isn't, I mean, it's significant in terms of strength, but it wouldn't hinder mobility if he takes care of his body properly. Now, as for Kendrick Green, I wasn't around in the 70s and 80s, I'll say that as well. So, like, I don't remember the fridge running per se. I have foggy memories of Jerome Bettis, and I saw some tweets too that made me laugh about Jerome Bettis walked so Kendrick Green can run, right? Because Jerome Bettis was a big running back and had a lot of success just being a big guy who could carry the football. He was a bit quick, but he really, you know, shoved himself through those lines to get space. He wasn't as agile so much as he was just strong and able to push through. So can Kendrick Green work out in this situation? Honestly, I hope so. I don't know for certain if this will pan out. I mean, he's working, though, and he's getting those reps. And the Steelers have a commitment to the run. We've been hearing that throughout the offseason, and maybe this is part of that commitment to just have this big guy, this guy who was drafted as a lineman, creating space for the tailback to get the ball, or even him as the fullback getting handoffs every once in a while and just like being so big and strong that he can just push through the line and automatically gain between 2 and 4 yards every carry. I think that would be wonderful. And I love that. And I love that fullbacks may be coming back into football more as well if this running game works. I mean, we know about the stories of the passing game. Passing's big in the NFL right now. That's all fine. I do know that the New England Patriots, and you know, I know we don't love talking about that team, but part of their success I remember hearing about was in what 2018 into 2019 when they beat the Los Angeles Rams in the Super Bowl that season. There was a documentary that I saw where they were struggling early on in the season, and then Belichick, Brady, they were like, let's get back to the fundamentals. Let's just run the football more and just pound the run, and let's wait teams out, and let's use our strength on the ground to score. And they ended up doing that, getting back to those fundamentals, running when every other team in the league was passing, and they get on to win their sixth Super Bowl, which tied the Steelers for the most by a team in all the franchises in NFL history. So I'm not going to doubt that the running game could work at all. You just got to do it right. You got to get back to those fundamentals and execute properly and do the fundamentals the right way. But if the Steelers run the football successfully, I have no doubt in my mind that they can be a successful football team, because we watched it with that Patriots team in the 2018-2019 season. Got another caller at 412-928-9370. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, what's up, bud? So I'm driving, and I heard your take on Ben, and I couldn't disagree anymore, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah? Why is that?
Well, because think about it this way. Yeah, the guy was drafted to be his center, but he made a valid point. Last year, he didn't even see the field. This year, they're trying him out at fullback just to get him on the field, just to say, you know what, let's try to get the most out of this guy. Yeah, but with Ben saying that, he's saying, look, this guy was drafted to be my center, and look where he's at now. He has all the right in the world to complain. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He is one of the top 10, top 15 best quarterbacks to ever play the game. And the organization failed him in his last couple of years to not put an offensive line around him.
No, I hear that. But, like, my whole point about Ben, like, what can he do about that now other than complain about it? You know what I mean? Like, we can't do anything about that now. They might have screwed him in the past. That's fine. But what can we do about it now is my question.
Well, I mean, it probably took years off of his career, and he probably feels a little bit scorned about it. I mean, he's seen Tom Brady play until he was 45. He's seen Brett Favre play until he was 40. I mean, yeah, sure, he was almost there, but he wasn't there, you know? So it kind of makes me feel like he's thinking, hey, this probably took a couple years off my career because they didn't put an offensive line around me to protect me.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. All right, I'll align to that point. I'm not totally against that. I mean, that kind of makes sense when you put it in that perspective. Like, hey, maybe my career had some more years. I don't buy that personally, so we're gonna agree to disagree on that point. I think he was done. He struggled. I mean, he had a few late-game comebacks. Maybe Matt Canada had something to do with that as well, not calling the right plays, not letting him really work the offense the way he could. Could he have played a few more years? I'm really not sure. I'm still worried about his health and his injury history. That all, to me, I think that he didn't really have too much left. Now, if you think he did, I mean, who knows? So you're not necessarily wrong to say that, and if you believe that, I'll align to that. Not going to totally agree with it, but I'll align with that viewpoint. And what you're saying makes sense. The logic, the pieces of the puzzle that you're putting together, they form in a way that makes sense. So, good call. I'll say good call on that one. I don't necessarily agree with it, but that's a point that I didn't necessarily consider, that maybe he's just saying, hey, I could add more years left in my career, but all of these things that the Steelers organization did to me really kind of pushed me out. Sure, maybe. To me, though, it just sounds more like complaining when he's just like, oh, it's, you know, it's really funny that this is really funny. You know, instead of just coming out and saying it, he's just like, oh, you know, it's real funny that this dude played was my center, and then he didn't dress, and now he's playing fullback. Isn't that just funny? I don't like how he says it. And I think that it's more still about just saying, like, yo, hey, here's me. Like, he doesn't have to say this stuff. Because you can't do anything about it now. He can't do anything about it now. He's not coming back into the league to play for the Steelers. That's just not happening. So instead of just kind of letting it die and saying, you know, hey, it's cool. It's cool. Let's, you know, well, let's move on. We can talk about other things. He's still doing the me thing. He did that as a player as well, which annoyed the heck out of me, was that he was just always like, well, make sure that you don't forget about me. Make sure I'm Ben Roethlisberger. You make sure you're still thinking about me. That's my problem with it all. It's just his personality is like, hey, don't forget. Every decision that should ever be made ever should involve me. Hate that. And he's complaining about it now like, oh, yeah, think about me. When you think about Kendrick Green, make sure you think about me. The Steelers organization did everything to mess with me and my career. That's not the mentality that I want to hear from a guy like that. I love his football insight too. I've listened to parts of his podcasts. They're great at times. He provides good insight. He provides information that you wouldn't normally get if you were just watching a game. He provides extra little flavor, more information to those games. But when he's talking about Kendrick Green, when he's talking about his time with the Steelers and saying, oh, think about, well, how about how this messed with my career? And how about that messed with my career? All these factors that messed with Ben Roethlisberger's career. Oh, think about me. I've been retired. This is my second year of retirement now. Think about me and think about all the decisions the Steelers are making and how that relates to me. That's the problem I have. That last caller, you had a good point. It's fine. I can align to that, like I said. But at the same time, it's like, still, why do we have to think about Ben Roethlisberger still? As it relates to how the Steelers did him wrong. You can't do anything about it. And I'm sure that every decision that they made was not to harm him and his career. I really don't. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. This is the Fan Early Morning Show. When I come back, continue to talk about the Steelers, do a little preview on tonight's game, and perhaps touch on the Pirates a little bit as well, because they won a game yesterday. They split a series with the Braves, and Paul Skenes pitched in a professional game yesterday and did well. We'll touch on as much as we can with the time that we have left on the Fan Early Morning Show here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. There is a little green bug flying around my booth, and I'm scared. I hope it doesn't try to attack me and I can't identify what bug it is. It's not a grasshopper. I know what a grasshopper looks like. It's not a ladybug. Ladybugs are red. I don't know. I hope it doesn't kill me. It's the Fan Early Morning Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. My name is Nicholas Callis. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Summer's here. Come check out Trailblazer, Equinox, and the all-new redesigned 2024 Trax. And you can check them out online at sunchevy.com today. High of 83, low of 64, overcast skies all throughout the day. And then tomorrow, 30% chance of rain throughout the area with a high of 87 and a low of 68. That's Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Talking some football, Ben Roethlisberger's opening his mouth again. I'm not happy about it personally. And the Steelers are playing the Buccaneers tonight at 7 o'clock in the Steelers' first preseason game of the year. So that's exciting. You want to call in, talk about your expectations of the Steelers. You want to ask me any questions. You're welcome to do that at 412-928-9370. You can also hit me up on Twitter at Callis_33. That's Callis_33. I just realized I called it Twitter when that's not factually accurate. I wish it were still called Twitter. It's not. It's just a letter, and the letter is X. But we move forward. So Baker Mayfield is an interesting guy. I think part of me kind of wants to see him succeed as a player in the NFL, just because he was drafted by the Browns, and it seems that everybody who goes through that organization is cursed. But he's just, he's a weird kind of player. Like, so much confidence comes from him, and yet he doesn't really back up the play. I remember in that season opener last year where Carolina was set to play Cleveland, and Mayfield said, "I'm going to rough them up." Except he didn't use the word rough. He used a word that started with the letter F. You know, just talking a big game and having all of this just confidence for a guy. And I mean, it's fine to have confidence, but like, he borderline touches arrogance. And I think that's part of his problem. He just is arrogant in many ways without, you know, having the necessary skills to back it up. I think there's some, that was valiant in some ways that he played through a shoulder injury to try to help the Browns out. In other cases, though, he might have hurt their chances of winning because he could not throw the ball with that bum shoulder. So part of me wants to see him do well. I don't hope that he does well against the Steelers tonight. Part of me wants to see him do well, though, as an NFC player now. He's in the NFC playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Part of me, though, no, you know, part of me thinks that he doesn't quite deserve it. That bug just flew in my eye. Gosh darn it. Wow. I think it is trying to get me, this bug in here. Maybe it's telling me to stop talking about Baker Mayfield because he may be washed up. It's just interesting, too, that the Bucs go from Tom Brady to Baker Mayfield, a low-drafted but one of the best, if not the best, quarterback in the NFL, to high-drafted player but very low ceiling when it comes to results and skill. But the bug's telling me to stop talking about, oh my gosh, it's still flying around. Wow, this is not good. All right, I'm not going to talk about Mayfield anymore. Let's talk about the Pirates briefly. And you can still call in at 412-928-9370 just because I'm moving up the Steelers right now. Doesn't mean you can't call in and ask a question or make a comment. But anyway, the Pirates split the series with the Atlanta Braves, and Crowley and Dorn and Capoli and I were all kind of shooting around here while we were preparing in the studio and just kind of talking about, you know, could the Pirates realistically make a comeback? They're 7.5 games out of the wild card spot, and they're, I think, 9 or so games away from the division. I'll check that right now. But could they make a run? Could they make a run at a playoff spot? And I am going to vote no after looking at all the evidence. They're 9.5 games out of the division. Lead at 52-63 right now. So this year, I think I'm going to put just kind of in the back. I'm just going to scrap it and say, all right, well, there is still salvageable value from this season the Pirates are having. But this year is not going to be a year where they're going to make a playoff run. There's still a lot to see, though. There's still a lot of players to see. There's still a lot of experience to be had. And yeah, there's still going to be value taken from this season. These games are meaningful in terms of development, and I think they're crucial. But having the Pirates split a series with the Braves, having Paul Skenes, who went out yesterday, an A-ball, and he threw 8 strikes of 11 pitches in his one inning that he pitched, and he threw 7 pitches over 100 miles an hour. So good for him. A lot of bright signs of the Pirates at this point. Not in terms of wins, but in terms of player development. Got a caller at 412-928-9370. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, it's Brian in the car.
Hello, what do you want to talk about?
You talking about Ben and his comments?
Yeah.
So, you know, thinking about it, in the way you guys put things in perspective, you always reference back to the most recent teams, right, which is Ben's team.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard for him not to – I mean, I get what you're saying. He's always put himself in the light. But at the same time, there's a scenario where you guys always use previous teams. You know, you're not going to go back to the 70s teams. You're going to use the more recent teams because it's a more closer analogy to compare.
Who's you? Hold on. Who's you guys, real quick? Just clarify that.
Well, the media and the news, the talk shows that okay. use the comparison to how things are, how the games play today and the performance of the players today, as opposed to, you know, how things were played 5-10 years ago or through his tenure, right?
Sure.
So that's always being brought up, but yet I get what you're saying, but at the same time I also get what, you know, that he is making a valid point that you guys are going to continue to talk about those years and, you know, previous Super Bowls or playoff losses or, you know, missed playoff runs and why that happened. So I think he has a valid point in bringing that up. Like you said, you agreed with that caller. I do too. But, you know, what is he supposed to do? Because you guys, and again, the media and the news, the talk show hosts are going to continue to talk about that over the course of the season.
All right, yeah, thanks for the call. That's all I'm saying is that I don't like that he's complaining about things he can't control anymore. He's out of the league. You might want to try to understand what he's saying, and I haven't been around the media long enough to have given points personally, so I can't speak for what everybody else has done in news, media, and sports talk, but I can tell you that, I don't know, I haven't. I just think that he's complaining about things he can't control, and when you do that, you're pointing a finger at yourself and saying, hey, look at me. And again, I don't like that. I don't like that on any type of team. I don't think that the me guys breed winning. That's just my opinion on that. So if we want to, you know, if you want to side with Ben, if you think that Ben's justified in his comments, you're welcome to think that. But for me, I don't think he's justified. And I don't like when a guy's always like, hey, just don't forget about me. That's the part I don't like. We got time for one more caller, 412-928-9370. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is David.
Hello.
And how you doing? Good morning to you.
You as well.
I just want to talk about the Broncos real quick.
Go ahead.
Shelton, I don't like Shelton's managing style. And, you know, for the Broncos, I think it's possible, it's reasonable if they can possibly make the wild card, but with Shelton calling the shot, I just don't think so. The other day, they really had a good chance of sweeping the Braves this past week, and the perfect example was that game that they lost where they put Torello at second base. And the plays that he made and the one sacrifice fly, he should have let Davis catch that ball, and maybe we could have got that runner at home out. I just didn't understand that move when he was at second base. And I just think, once again, Shelton's managing style is really weak for this organization.
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks for the call. I'm up against it. I don't have too much time to respond. He does make decisions that are questionable. I agree with that. And that might make you question whether he's holding back the Pirates or not. I think it's a fair question to ask. I can't necessarily form an opinion on that right now because there's so many decisions that you got to go through. But he has had his moments this season that have made you question, okay, you know, what's he doing? Why is he doing it? And is this really the best for the team? So I think that it's a fair question to ask at this point. There's still more times left in the season to give him those opportunities to make better decisions. But I understand the concerns of fans. If you're wondering a little bit about why he's been doing what he's been doing as an on-field manager.